the thinking skills that are developed in the literary analysis activity will apply to real life.
Hello, and welcome to the Arts of Language podcast with Andrew Poudois, founder of the Institute for Excellence in Writing, or as many like to say, IEW. My name is Julie Walker, and I'm honored to serve Andrew and IEW as the Chief Marketing Officer. Our goal is to equip teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers. Woo, Andrew, we made it.
To what?
To Unit 9.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
We're talking about Unit 9.
Yes, we are. So it's the end of the school year. Almost things are just wrapping up, and we've got one more unit. We would really like to have our teachers and teaching parents introduced to their students. But the good news, it's a lot of review.
Well, yes. I always look at Unit 9 as kind of the denouement of the 9 units, with the climax being at Unit 8, and then Unit 9, you can kind of just relax a little bit. You're free of topic clinchers in the Unit 9 critique model. You can revisit some old stories if you want to, or pull out some new ones. And, it's one of those things that I would consider not the most important of the units, but certainly something that a lot of kids enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And it points toward that higher level of response to literature and literary analysis that a lot of people seem concerned with.
Well, yes, and because a lot of English teachers, that was their background. They were trained in literature, and they want to start writing about literature. And we do, that is what Unit 9 is, the formal critique, mostly about stories. Although you have a model in our seminar workbook on doing a nonfiction critique.
Yeah.
So let's just start from the beginning without spending too much time. I love the way the units are ordered and that they make sense. They're building upon each other. So can you just speak to that?
Well, and there's a variety baked into the system. Mm-hmm. So, as I've said, I don't know that when Webster designed this thing, he actually knew how brilliant it was. Right. And sometimes we do that. We come up with ideas, and then years later, we think, well, that was really good.
Right.
And so with Unit 1 and 2, we are teaching people how to use keyword outlines, basically. It can be, a fiction thing like an Aesop fable, or a nonfiction thing about an interesting animal, blue-ringed octopus or something weird.
Mm-hmm.
Unit 3, we are then retelling narrative stories. So we're in this world of fiction and storytelling and narrative sequence, and within that world, the kids can be creative. They can have, elaborations or variations on stories. Unit 4, we're back in the world of facts, collect up, organize, and present. You can't just make up stuff willy-nilly like you could elaborate in a story. So right there, you see the contrast and the brilliance of the program, because some kids really like the make it all up and play with it and be imaginative. And other kids are much safer not having to make stuff up and play with it and be imaginative. They would rather just tell you the facts and be done with it. Unit 5, of course, is now there's no story, but there's a set of pictures and a methodology of thinking about those pictures. So using the litany of questions to come up with the content. And that's on the creative, imaginative side. But then you're in Unit 6, which is multiple reference summaries, research. And so now you're back in that discipline. Unit 7, inventive writing, the blank page, the prompt, the write about whatever. That tends to be, for a lot of people, the objective. Like, we want our kids to be able to write about anything. And, of course, we know that if you start the school year by saying, here, write about this or that from your memory or imagination, Some kids can, but a lot of kids are kind of dead in the water. I don't know what to write. I can't think of anything. But if you hit that unit 7 in the spring,
mm-hmm.
and now you've been through, especially units 3 and 5, this process of invention is not so overwhelming for most kids.
Right. And in unit 7 is where we introduce the introduction and conclusion paragraph,
which then prepares us for unit 8, mm-hmm. which is really the blending together of collect up, organize, present facts, and tell what you think about those facts. What's your opinion or analysis? And, you know, we've talked about different ways to approach unit 8 and the variations on the unit 8 models.
Mm-hmm.
So in Unit 9, you're coming back onto the fiction side, but you're keeping with the Unit 8 idea of tell what you think about something. So the basic Unit 9 is, first paragraph is background information. That's sometimes hard for people because what's the background information? And we have some very good examples in the seminar workbook, some excellent examples in the magnum opus mm-hmm. magazine that contains student samples of Unit 9. All the theme-based books have the sample compositions. We call them
exemplars.
Exemplars. They're not written by students, but they are written by teachers and adults to show here's how this would look in a pretty sophisticated or perfected form.
Well, and I want to insert really quickly here, not all of our theme-based books go all the way up to units 8 and 9. Some of them stop at 7.
Right. The level A mm-hmm. books, we stop at unit 7. B and C, of course, go yep. to unit 9. And so the first paragraph of the 5-paragraph critique model is background information. And the best way to beef that up is give a little biographical information about the author.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some authors are pretty thin, like who knows what about Aesop?
Right.
But others, like Dickens, mm-hmm. you know, there are many aspects that right. you could add in. And so we, even in some of the theme-based books, will provide some historical context there. You can also talk about the condition of the world when that story or article or book or poem or whatever was written. And then we have the body paragraphs, which really are the story sequence chart, at least in the fiction critique model.
From Unit 3.
And so that's a good review. And the kids are, oh, okay, characters and setting, okay, problem development, okay, climax resolution. You write it a little bit differently because rather than telling the story, you're telling about the story.
Right.
But it is possible to use a Unit 3 assignment, tweak it a little bit, and make that the body paragraph of Unit 7 if you wanted to do that. The 5th paragraph of the Unit 9 is really where the students are going to say what did they like or dislike, what was well done or not well done, what was enjoyable or not enjoyable, what was meaningful or not meaningful in that story.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we see, again, sometimes the kids have trouble coming up with that, but it's pretty easy to say, well, what did you like or not like? And start right there. One of the things that I've noticed about structure and style students is that as they work through, you know, the first year and particularly the second year of using the style checklist, they will become, in a positive way, more critical about the things they read.
Mm-hmm.
And they will notice, well, does this author use a variety of strong verbs and quality adjectives? So they can comment on the vocabulary that's in the story. Does this author use a variety of sentence openers? And they can comment on the effect of the variety of sentence patterns. Does this author use any literary devices that we would find in our decorations and triples? So as students become very familiar with the style checklist, they become more able to write a critique that would include a commentary on the author's style. Also, one of the great tools, I see you just turned it to it
yes,
in the
yes.
seminar workbook, is the critique thesaurus.
Well, and before you explain what that is, I want you to tell the story about your daughter wanting to see a movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an old story. It happened. This was actually one of the very first writing classes I ever taught mm-hmm. to anyone. And it was my two oldest girls and a bunch of their friends, and they were all 9, 10, 11 years old. And so she had learned the structure and style writing system and all that. And then we had gone to see this movie, The Rocketeer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty wholesome adventure movie at the time. And she really wanted to go see this movie again, and I was not particularly inclined to make that happen. But I thought, well, maybe we can milk this for a little effort. And I said, okay, well, if you would write a 5-paragraph critique according to this model, good enough for me to put in my newsletter, because I just started doing these newsletters. I was trying to include a student writing sample
nice.
In each of these newsletters.
The beginning of the Magnum Opus magazine,
Andrew. Well, you know, it was way back when the whole of IEW was, you know, me, myself, and I, and a little help from my family. So anyway, she wrote this thing and gave it to me, and I was very impressed with the quality of the writing, in particular, the vocabulary. And I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, how does she even know these words? And then And this happened actually sometime later when I was teaching a TWSS, showing the critique vocabulary, and I kind of noticed, oh, that word in her critique of The Rocketeer, that came from this list. Well, that word also came from this list, and that word came from this list.
Right,
and all of these words she had used that I thought were kind of above her general vocabulary level at 11 years old, 12 maybe by that time.
I'm going to read.
Where did they come from?
I'm going to read. This is actually, if you have the seminar workbook, listener, you can find this on page 152. I'm just going to read the opening paragraph.
It's one of the few student samples that made it from the earliest days into this updated TWSS 2 version. Yeah, go ahead.
It's awesome. The Rocketeer is one of the top 10 full-length motion pictures released in the summer of 1991.
91,
right?
Oh my heavens.
Because of the few moderately violent scenes it contains, this movie is rated PG and is not recommended for children under the age of 7. Bill Campbell, who plays the part of the Rocketeer, does an excellent job portraying a spunky air pilot in the late 1930s. The soundtrack was captivating. Buena Vista's special effects were superb. And then she goes on to now.
And so that's the background
information.
Right. And I didn't even edit that thing. I mean, she actually wrote it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was almost skeptical if she really wrote it.
Right.
Because it just seemed too good.
Yeah, so the critique thesaurus, just turn back 2 pages on page 150. It gives you words that you can use for the characters. Were they flat, round? Literature teachers, I know you're excited about that. We included that. Static, dynamic. Were their types adventurous, tragic, comic, bumbling, retiring? This is such a great list for any writer to be able to pull from. And I like how you say, goes in the brain, down your arm. How do you say that, Andrew? When it becomes a part of who you are, when you start using word lists.
Right. Well, you know, you put it into your mind, and then you have access. So okay, I know what you're saying. So I would say whenever you have word lists available, whether it's on a piece of paper or on the wall, the word hops off the list into your eyes, into your brain, and out your fingers, and you can write something that you wouldn't have been able to write if you didn't have the list. But by coming, you know, off the list and through your brain and into your paper a few times, what happens? It gets stuck there. It gets built in. And I think this was part of when I really started to see very, very clearly that a student can't really think a thought. They don't have the words to think it in. So, you know, they might know words like exciting or interesting or funny or enjoyable, but that only gets you so far in an analysis experience.
Right.
So I think this is one of the brilliant things that Webster came up with. And I don't know if he just sat down and hammered it out one day or if it was kind of the culmination of years of experience and other teachers' input. But I have found again and again that this, as well as other word lists like kids get in our Word Right Now book or, in the resources that we make available with the courses, that you're just really building vocabulary in the best possible way. And this would be a vocabulary that allows for this objectivity, this analysis, this, you know, critical thinking in the positive way, the critique idea. So that's the Unit 9 5-paragraph model. I had the problem, though, of someone saying, but what if you want to write a critique of a nonfiction book?
Right.
Now, in some cases, that might work because a nonfiction book, if it's well done and engaging, could have characters and setting, a problem to be solved, a climax and a resolution, but not all nonfiction books do that
right.
in that way.
Right.
If you have kind of a biography, there may be a central problem that you could build that around. I'm thinking maybe the Wright brothers and flying.
Right.
But in a biography, you've got the life of someone. And so what I did was I said, well, let's keep the first and last paragraph, the background information about the book and the author and the time and all that. Let's keep the last paragraph, which is a critique of what was good or bad, what was liked or not like, what was effective or ineffective about the whole book. But let's use the Unit 8 three topics idea. So what were the three most significant events in this person's life that you gained from reading that biography?
Right.
And I would say that's the most common use of the nonfiction would be a biography. But you could also have a history of a war or you could even have a commentary on nutrition or something.
Right.
And you would it would be a great exercise for the student to say, okay, of all this information, what are the three most valuable topics to share with the reader?
Right. And you said at the beginning, when you do a Unit 9, you don't have to do a topic clincher model for your paragraphs, but with a nonfiction, you would want
to. We do. Yeah. Yes, we do. And so that's, you know, that's kind of a difference. Mm-hmm. And the reason is in the fiction critique model, it is the narrative.
Right.
So you're going through time. I mean, a skilled student could make a topic clincher work. I've seen that done. But it's not on the checklist. It's not a requirement. Whereas when we go to the nonfiction, we really are more in the world of the essay. And the topic clincher works better and makes a lot more sense.
Right.
So, you know, the nonfiction critique model is really just an essay about a nonfiction book. But we threw it in there so that you could see the similarities and use it in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. It would work great if a college professor assigns a summary of this book. There's your five-paragraph model to do a summary of a nonfiction book on perhaps nutrition, as you suggest.
And you know, a lot of people are still hung up with, oh no, five-paragraph models are archaic, they're formulaic, they are a crutch, they don't allow for whatever. But we've not found that. I have never, ever heard a story of a student who learned doing Unit 8 and 9 with five-paragraph models and then grew up and went to college and wrote a paper and didn't, you know, and got a bad score because of the way they wrote. Most kids by that time are smart enough to figure out, okay, well, how long does the professor want this thing to be? And how do I adjust a structure accordingly? And of course, we even have a system to help with that idea of translating number of words or number of pages into number of paragraphs and, you know, adjusting. Most college teachers, even if they get a five-paragraph format, generally they're grateful that it has an organization at all compared to the average student who kind of just meanders around.
Trying to get the word count.
Yeah.
To meet the criteria.
Thinking. So I really don't think it's a concern that learning a five-paragraph model is going to handicap anyone anytime.
Right.
It's a tool. It's a tool in a toolbox, and you don't use every tool for every job.
Right.
But once you know how to use that tool, then it helps you learn to use other tools more skillfully. So some of our other tools then that we attached onto Unit 9 And this is new. This is the result of what I learned in my experience of working with teachers and schools and parents and needs from the kind of beginning of the TWSS to the point where we redid this in 2015.
Right.
And that was the response to literature element as well as the literary analysis essay.
Right.
So really, if we talk about Unit 9, now we're talking about critiques and writing about literature. And so these are not things that Webster came up with, but they are natural extensions.
Mm-hmm.
And for students who've been through the 9 units in a simple form, you know, for 2 or 3 years, they are going to be really up for this challenge.
Right.
And maybe not even, you know, 2 or 3 years. We included some of this in our SSS courses.
Yes, we did.
In the second year.
Yes, in level B, year 2,
yep.
We definitely get to the response to literature. In year 1 of level C, we hit also response to literature. But then in year 2 of level C, response to literature and literary analysis. So it was a great exercise for the students. One of the things that I'd like you to comment on, Andrew, is the experience that a lot of students have. And believe it or not, I remember my 4th grade experience, going way back, of having to write a book report. And I, you know, there was this little form we had to fill out, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but I don't think my 4th grade teacher is listening to this podcast, but it was describe a scene in the book. And I read the whole Little House on the Prairie, little, you know, Laura Ingalls Wilder series, and I used that same scene in the book for multiple paragraphs, for multiple books, for multiple book reports, because I couldn't think of it what else to write.
Yeah, yeah. Well, book reports are interesting. I think a lot of people grew up with them. I think very few people liked doing them. I certainly didn't. You see a trend now of rather than a book report, let's do a variety of ways that we can represent this book to the world, whether it's illustration, make an illustration, or I even, you know, saw make a like an advertisement for this book, or, you know, retell your favorite thing from the book. I think that the problem of book reports kind of came into existence because teachers needed a way to somehow verify that the kid had actually read the book.
Right.
And so that was the origin of the idea. But I always point out to do a book report is almost the hardest writing task you could ask a child to do because the funnel is so wide.
Yes.
So if you think about the funnel, and I talk about this in the TWSS, you know, Unit 1 and 2, it's no funnel. It's straight down. You know, there were 7 sentences in the original, and maybe you have 7 sentences in your retelling of that fable, plus or minus 1 or 2, but it's straight down. There's no figuring out what to say or not say. With Unit 3, depending on the length of the story, that funnel starts to widen. And so if you have a 2-page, you know, fairy tale or myth, and you're trying to retell that in 3 paragraphs, well, that's a little harder because you can't tell everything. You know, moving up to, say, a 10-page story, that can be really a challenge because so many more things happened, so many more things were described than you can possibly fit in 3-paragraph retelling. So it becomes a summary or a shortened retelling intentionally. Then we get to Unit 4 and 6. The funnel is even harder because you've got facts and there's too many facts. And that's why we talk about a summary being you tell some of that, but not all of it. You're
right.
Some arising, not all arising.
Right.
And then that Unit 4, 6 progression goes into Unit 8, where you generally have too much information. But at Unit 9, if you are dealing with a whole book, and for a kid, this could be, what, 100 to 300 pages?
Sure.
It doesn't even matter. It could be a short book of 70 pages. It's still a lot, and the funnel is so wide. And trying to figure out what to put in that is tough. That's why I suggest when you hit Unit 9, and our materials do this, don't start with a whole book. Start with a shorter story.
Right.
Start with a shorter story and then move to a longer story, and then maybe move to a movie, which is always a summary of the book it came from.
Sure, sure.
And then if you've got any time or energy left over, maybe a book critique.
Right.
But build up to that, because it's just so overwhelming. What can I possibly put in, and how much of it do I remember? And that's why I think this response to literature is so much more effective than most kind of book report forms that we've seen, because it is a structure. And we have three models, a four-paragraph model, a five-paragraph model, and a six-paragraph model. And these came into existence originally because I was doing some work with a school district. And this particular school district was trying to be a really good school district. And so they had their own standards that were beyond their state standards.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those standards was for children to be able to read a story and write about it,
mm-hmm.
a response to literature. Only they were starting in fourth grade. And so the problem here was that they would let the kids read the story, and then the kids would write about it. Well, there were basically two things that happened. Kids who would just retell the story, and that wasn't the task, therefore they didn't do well.
Right.
Or the kids who had no idea what to do, and they didn't do well either. So this poor district and the schools I'm working with within a district, they had created standards that, in my view, were kind of inappropriate to the age and maturity of the student, but I couldn't change that. All I could do was figure out how to help them. So what we did was we created three models, one for fourth grade, one for fifth grade, one for sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem the students were having was they wanted to tell the whole story, or they didn't know how to write anything because they didn't really know what they were thinking about the story. They were just experiencing it. Both of those did not score well on the district rubric, which was trying to get the kids to talk about their thoughts.
Yes, their response.
Response to reading it. So we started with the three-paragraph model for the youngest students in fourth grade. One paragraph was the introduction, which had the background information, very similar to the critique. The second paragraph was the story sequence chart. So it was the unit 3 model, or the body paragraphs unit 9 model, shrunk into one paragraph.
All squished together.
And so basically you only have one or two sentences to say: characters and setting, problem, plot or problem, conflict resolution. And that was actually a very good exercise, to be able to take a story and shrink it down into one paragraph summary. And then the third was an analysis topic.
Mm.
And they got to choose to analyze the characters or the message and theme. And then we created a list of questions that the kids could ask themselves to do a character analysis. So what are some of the qualities that this character has?
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually gave the teachers a list of character qualities, both positive and negative, you know, industriousness versus laziness,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, charity versus selfishness, etc. And let them scan the list and say, okay, which words on this list would match this character? Kind of like a critique vocabulary idea, the critique
right.
thesaurus,
sure.
only very specific to character development. And then what motives did this character show, and how did this character change? What effect did this character have on other characters in the story? What did this character learn?
Mm.
So a simple list of about 5 questions that a student could ask and hopefully get an answer to at least a few of those questions and write a whole paragraph analyzing the character in the story.
Right.
And so that was the 3 paragraph. Then in fifth grade, we added a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the introduction, the summary, the analysis paragraph, which could be either main character, message or theme, or the setting and mood.
Oh, right.
So we added
yep.
another option and a conclusion. And then the goal, of course, was the full 5-paragraph version that we were trying to get the sixth grade to understand,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which was introduction, story sequence in one paragraph, and 2 analysis topics, and it could be the main character, the message or theme, the setting or mood, or the style of the author.
Oh, okay.
And so they could choose two of those four, write two paragraphs for the body that were in addition to the story retelling, and then the conclusion. And I don't know how well this worked. I believe that the school district was very happy with the improvements that they saw mm-hmm. over time. I really didn't get a chance to see a lot of the samples.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt a little frustrated because, first of all, I didn't know how well this is going to work. And I felt like you're just teaching to the test. And what are you going to sacrifice in other things if you get too attached to the test scores that you're going to get back on this response to literature prompt? Fortunately, you know, the teachers understood our program by then, and this was really a refinement and an option for the fall. And I think I even said, if you need to skip Unit 8 and 9 to do this,
right,
so you get better scores, but don't skip other units.
No.
Don't be jumping to this thing in November because you're all worried about your standardized tests in April.
You got to build that foundation.
So we did that. And then, of course, we had, you know, along with the teaching the classics product and literature teachers and high school literature teachers mm-hmm. wanting to have a literary analysis. And this was not an area where I had much experience at all, but we drew from the wisdom of the syllabus, the structure and style, and some good input from literature teachers. And so we came up with a 5-paragraph literary analysis essay. And so, you know, here you're basically saying, you know, a thesis. You have an assertion that you're making about something about this mm-hmm. piece of writing.
Right.
And again, it's easier to use something shorter. It's easier to use a short story or a poem rather than a whole book.
Well, and that's a great way to introduce the concepts that the students can then transfer that to a longer piece of work that they no doubt will have to take in their Comp 1 or Comp 2 class in college.
Well, and you know, for a while, I kind of just didn't want to go here. But, you know, I have come to understand, much like I did with Unit 5 and pictures
yes.
that I was never really thrilled about in my youth, that the skills of writing about literature,
yes,
although to many kids and to many of us, I would throw myself in that category, who cares, right? Who really cares about, you know, this character and what they thought is fiction. It's not real.
Yes, but we can learn so much
the
from
thinking
it.
Skills
yes.
that are developed in the literary analysis mm-hmm. activity will apply to real life
yes.
and world analysis.
Yes.
And if you can understand a character in a story, you're more likely to understand a character in your life or in politics or in the world that you live and to say, aha, I understand this person now a little better because I have developed some of these analytical thinking skills. The questions cross-apply.
Yes.
And that's the bottom line. So, you know, I had an interesting question recently, and I've had this question more than once, but the question was, you know, my 11-year-old boy does not see why he should learn this stuff
mm-hmm.
because he's planning to be a software engineer like his dad, you know? And okay, you know, I'm fine with that. And of course, you know, software engineering is a field that's probably going to work better and pay off more than literary analysis teaching, which is really the only thing you would do with that skill. I suppose there are people who write blogs and there are still a few people who do, you know, book reviews for newspapers, although I haven't actually seen a newspaper for quite some time. But my point to that mom was mostly, yeah, you may not use the skill, this specific task-based skill, when you grow up and do whatever you do in life. But the thinking skills you develop as a result of doing these tasks,
exactly,
that will carry over into people management. It will carry over into marketing. It will carry over into organization. It will carry over into working with a team and understanding your coworkers. It will carry over into really into understanding the relationships in your life. Like, I mean, we have this idea that somehow the things we learn in school have to be applicable to the job we're going to do in life. And that's just not true at all. And it shouldn't be the focus of what's education about.
Right.
Is understanding humanity better. And so that's why an 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old boy who wants to become, you know, a software engineer or a Navy SEAL, you know, whatever his little dream is, if he can get into literature and do even very simple process of writing about literature, mm-hmm. whether it's the critique, whether it's the response, whether it's the analytical essay, that's going to just carry over and make him a better thinker and, to some degree, a better problem solver in all of life. And I guess that's, you know, that's the main thing. And I would even say, you know, I'd throw in the whole idea of like, well, we're not going to have to write much because we're just going to be able to have ChatGPT write all of our technical stuff. And that may be true. But if we aren't gaining the value of doing the thinking that's necessary to produce the product, we're not going to be the best that we can in no matter where we are. And so there's going to be, you know, people who just let ChatGPT do their thinking for them. And then there's going to be the people who can do a critical analysis of ChatGPT. Who would you rather be?
Right, exactly, exactly. Well, Unit 9, check, done, next. What is next, Andrew, after Unit 9?
Well, for most people, summer, right?
Right, and then we start over again.
We go back.
We
build on the foundation a better continuation.
Yes. Yeah. And we do spend a whole podcast talking about IEW over the years and how to, and why, more importantly, why to continue going through the 9 units year after year. And it's such
a
great
why,
foundation.
You know, it really doesn't get tedious or boring. It's not as though you can't learn something that you had learned and learn it better. I'm always reminded of the story of John Wooden, the coach of UCLA basketball. He was like the greatest coach of all time.
Yes.
Some people would say. And what did he do at the first practice of every season? How to put on your socks.
Oh, right.
Like,
okay.
100% of the players, he sat him down and said, this is how you put on your socks. If you do it right, you won't get blisters and your feet will do better and you'll be a better player. And if you do it wrong and you get blisters, it doesn't matter how good you are, you're going to be handicapped. And, you know, we see that in things like martial arts. You know, you go into a practice, what do you do?
Yep.
Basic stuff.
Yep.
You know, my years with Dr. Suzuki in Japan, we'd sometimes spend 2 hours of a group class playing 4 measures of a book 2 piece of music. Why? Because you can always do a simpler thing at a higher, better level, which then brings up the level of everything else you're going to do on top of that. But that's for another podcast.
That sounds great. Well, thank you, Andrew.
It's always a pleasure, Julie. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, or just visit us each week at IEW.com/podcasts. Here you can also find show notes and relevant links from today's broadcast. One last thing, would you mind going to iTunes to rate and review our podcast? This really helps other smart, caring listeners like you find us. Thanks so much.